It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils, and you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
You know, I do think that we are audio issues that we've been having these last couple of shows, I believe, are strictly from my computer. Because if you listen to the other, what was that?
You think so, yeah.
Yeah, and then if you listen to the last show we did, it was getting all effed up at the end again.
I didn't even notice that at the time. Yeah, it's amazing.
It was like the last maybe 10 minutes of the show, but it was doing kind of the same thing, and it was, you know, getting to the point where it's almost unlistenable. So I might be making a splurge soon on a new laptop.
You think it's the computer? Maybe you need a new update or something?
I've maxed out of updates on this laptop. Like, it's so old.
It will take no more updates. It's full.
Yeah, yeah. It's full. So I can't even, like, this thing's like 10 years old. So, yeah, I think
that's
time that
I get old. You're just like, I can take no more updates. I'm done.
Yeah, I have no more room.
That's it.
For anything. So
I'm starting to feel that way little by little. Pretty good, pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling that way too. Getting old, just especially when, like, you know, you're watching everyone else's hockey teams play. It's depressing.
It is a little bit of a bummer. I think that, first of all, this first round, I don't know, are we going to get to a game six anywhere, east or west? It's that they're just flying by. Can't be too happy that first one, lock it up with a sweep is the Rangers. Kind of not what I was wishing for. On the upside, they're going to have to play Carolina, and that's not going to go well for them, in my opinion. We'll see. But, yeah, there's been some good hockey. I don't mean to complain, but, yeah, it seems like everything's 3-1 right now, and, yeah, on their way to record.
There has been some good hockey. Mm-hmm. I do think that Tampa Bay is going to crawl back into this series. I think they're going to win tonight.
I called that one a 7-game series because I don't disrespect Florida. I think they're the better team, but Tampa is, like, amazing. You know, like they have the playoff mojo.
Like,
so if they get swept out, you know, or pushed out 4-1, I'm going to be a little surprised.
I would be surprised too. Yeah. You know what else this playoff has shown me? That when you have such crap on the bottom, especially in the Eastern Conference, you know, 4 or 5, maybe 6 mediocre to bad teams fighting for 1 or 2 playoff spots, it really does just set up for shitty hockey. Like, Washington, it had no business being there. Now, I'm not going to say the Devils had any business being in there because they didn't. Not the way they played this season.
No, they didn't earn it. They didn't deserve it. But, you know, look who did get in there. I honestly think Pittsburgh would have done better than Washington did there. And, you know, I guess the Islanders are doing a little better than Washington.
They don't even –
You know,
they got the overtime, and they get into the second overtime. And at that point, you flip a coin. You know what I mean?
Like,
it's just, yeah, it did. And so I think Carolina finishes business there.
Yeah.
one of the, you know, if I hear one more person say like, oh, the biggest is how disappointed they are in the Toronto Maple Leafs, I have to just ask them to where have they been the last 10 years that this is disappointing to them?
I mean, this is what they do in the playoffs. This is what they do. They just fall apart.
The falling apart is happening a little bit more, I guess, spectacularly.
It's very
year.
Full of emotion. You got Marner doing his thing, the Marner show.
I hate Mitch Marner.
It was quite a tantrum.
And the last thing that you have room for is baby bullshit, throwing your gloves on the bench, basically. And, you know, look, dude, I don't care how many. This is the Jesper Bratt argument. And when people say I'd love to have Mitch Marner on this Devil team, absolutely not.
There were a lot of people
in no way, shape, or form.
A shot at getting him, especially last year, I noticed.
Yeah, well, you're probably going to hear some more noise about it this year because I do think Toronto will probably part ways with him. But I do not want this guy on the team. I don't give a shit about your 100 points when you don't do crap in the playoffs. Like, this is the argument we had with Jesper Bratt. And we don't know how Jesper Bratt's second playoff, well, really third, but his next playoff will work out. But
it's
got to
be a big turnaround. I was happy the way he finished the season, but let me tell you something. If we made it to the playoffs, that would be question number one, or at least maybe number two behind goaltending, is like, how's Jesper Bratt going to respond to these playoffs? Because last year was abysmal, and it was a big reason they did not make a serious attempt at beating Carolina.
And we don't have a big sample size for this Devil core being in the postseason. So to just shit on Jesper Bratt when last year was his first real time in the playoffs, okay, he didn't show up, but, you know, maybe you can give him a pass. I don't know if that necessarily means he's not a big game guy, that he's going to shrink in the playoffs. You have enough sample size of Mitch Marner to know he's shrinking like a daisy in the friggin' playoffs.
With Bratt, it was like very important to know because he had that reputation in the regular season of for long stretches just being absent. So it's like, okay, he might be one of those guys that come playoffs, he's there. You know, we were hoping for that, you know. Not so much last year. You're right. It could be different. Marner, I think he definitely has written his story on this, and I wouldn't want him, that's for sure.
There's not many guys that I just, like, of course, like, I don't like guys on teams and stuff like that, but to say, like, I actually don't like the guy, it's not many that I can say that about. No. I do not like Mitch Marner.
No, there's a few
like,
I don't like,
just seems
but I
like
think
such
I would take him on my
douche.
Team, you know, like Marshawn, who, you know, he's kind of a douchebag, but who wouldn't want him on their team? This is kind of the opposite, right?
Yeah, that is just a dude I don't think you need to bring into your locker room. I see him as being a cancer, and, you know, it's not even like you have, you know, this great production that you're willing to say, so what if he ruffles a few feathers, at least he delivers. This fucking dude doesn't deliver.
No. But, you know, I feel like it's even bigger than Mitch Marner. Like, focusing on him takes away from the fact that, like you said, for the last 10 years, they've had like what looks like cup-ready teams in place, and they always fall apart. I mean, the great Austin Matthews, you can't blame him, but it's like he's saddled with this team, and I don't know. It feels like they're cursed. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they turn it around, but they were really thinking it was their year, and here they are in the first round struggling mightily.
And, you know, that's the thing, like – when you build a team, and this is kind of like the Devil, this is what I hope the Devils don't, the trap I hope they don't fall into. We've said it forever, right? The one thing when you get onto, and when the playoffs start that your opposition is doing, they're shutting you down, right? They are just, who is the opening goal scorers? Who are their biggest threats? And we're going to do everything we can to limit their opportunities.
That's right.
And you have to be a deep team. And you have to be able to fight through those things. Toronto is neither. They're not deep, and they can't fight through these things. And this is where I think we talked about our bottom six on the Devils, having to get a few more tougher playmakers on that bottom six and fill out that defense with some depth. And, you know, I don't think the Devils would have that problem. But really, once you get past, you know, Nylander, Marner, Matthews, who's on that team?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know that John Tavares is a very good player and Tyler Bertuzzi is a very good player, but they're not going to do it on their own. Like, you need those three guys, especially Austin Matthews, and, well, really all three of them. And, you know, they have no answers when they are taken out of the game.
Yeah, and I just wonder about, you know, their coaching situation. You know, everything got crazy with Babcock.
Sheldon Keefe seems like a fucking buffoon.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he's got a – you know, it really seemed that way, too, with the Mitch Marner meltdown session there. It just – when you see something like that from a player, I don't know about you, I always turn around and look at the coach like, so what's going on, coach? Because, you know, you kind of want to have control of your team, and it just shows like a you know. So I wonder about that, too, with Toronto. I don't know. Honestly, I never pick them to get out of the – early rounds, they just don't do it. You know, they just maybe first, maybe second round. That's it.
Yeah, I think Boston finishes this thing, their next game, whenever that is, tomorrow or Wednesday. I think it's over, and Toronto goes home with more questions than they have than they had at the end of last year, and it's right back to it. But I think with like Toronto, for instance, like having like Austin Matthews is such an amazing player. And it's like, I forget what my fucking point that I was going to have on that. Oh, God damn it. It ran away. It was something about Matthews. All right. I'll find it again at some point.
You know what, too? I was thinking a lot about that series. And to me, I don't know about you, I've been focusing more on Toronto. Part of because it's enjoyable to just watch them melt down. But also of all the things that we just talked about. But you know what? I kind of like Boston's been playing a very good series. Boston... They do not look like the team that just didn't know what to do last year in first round and got, you know, crushed by Florida. They look like the Boston of a couple of years ago, like a playoff serious team. So they put together a really good performance, and they're going to be, I think, more dangerous than I gave them credit for going into the playoffs.
Especially the way Jeremy Swayman's playing. Yes. I mean, he's playing great. I know that Omar had the L that when he started his start, he got the loss, but he played really good in it. But Swayman is just playing on a different level. And it's crazy because, like, in Vancouver, they're on their third goalie already. Yeah. You know, Casey DeSmith was the E-bug last night. I don't know why. I guess he was sick or something. I don't know why he was the emergency goalie. Thatcher Demko is out. I don't even remember the kid's name. It was his first start last night, and he played pretty good for Vancouver. And then, like, it looks like Sorokin is done. This dude can't get in the net. It's Varlamov's win or lose, whatever happens.
Like they want to stick with him no matter what. And, you know, luckily for the Islanders, he played him a great game for them last outing.
Yeah. But does it raise questions when you just paid Ilya Sorokin, I think, like $8 or $9 million a year for a long-term 8-year contract, and you're not playing him?
Ownership's
got to
be like, okay, I do want to win the playoffs, coach, but Christ's sake, I've got this, $9 million sitting on the shelf.
Right.
Wow.
For the next 8 years, and you're telling me this guy wasn't good enough to put in the playoffs this year? Like, I mean, the Islanders are not a team that I see coming back next year better than what they were now. So if you're going to make the playoffs again next year, it's probably going to be one and done like it's been the last two. I just don't see these aging guys a year older, a year slower, getting better. So you're going to need Sorokin.
You would think so. I mean, what is their plan with him? I mean, are they trying to deal him? I mean, they've definitely devalued him the way they played him.
I don't see any way. Like, Varlamov's 36. Like, you're... Yeah, but like Varlamov's 36. You're making him your number one. Right. So, I mean, they're going to go with Sorokin. I think Sorokin will find his game again. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know what that deal is. I thought he would get more of a shot this playoffs.
Well, you know, it's because I don't know if you remember back when the preseason was happening and we just finished like the Islanders 6-1 or something. And it was just one of the Devils' great preseason games and they blew him out of the water. And we were coming on like that didn't look like Ilya Sorokin in net today.
That's
and
true.
We were all like, yeah, it's the preseason. You know, he'll be fine. He never got back to form this year.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I haven't heard of any injuries tied to him, but it's not been his year. After such a great year last year.
So, you know, this last couple of weeks, I have been completely just balls deep in NFL draft.
Oh, yeah.
That culminated in a glorious weekend where...
So give me the report. I did not look into what your Vikings did. how did it turn out for you? I mean, that we did that show and wonderful. You went on to watch the rest of the draft. And so tell me
it
all about
it. It was a wonderful first round. So, you know, the Vikings had the 11th pick, and then early, like a couple months ago, they made a trade with the Houston Texans for their 23rd pick. So the Vikings were sitting on two first round picks. I think the theory, or, you know, the general thought process was the Vikings need a quarterback because Kirk Cousins left to go to Atlanta in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Minnesota wanted to pay him, give him a 2-year deal. And he wanted more money. He wanted more terms. So he ended up going to Atlanta. And then something happened in that I just thought was absolutely hysterical. But so everybody, the thought process was the Vikings would have to package these two picks, move up in the draft, even though it was a very quarterback heavy draft. Six quarterbacks went in the first round, right. Which has never happened before. So they couldn't make a trade up. From what it said, they wanted to move up to 3 with New England and go after the quarterback out of North Carolina, Drake May. They couldn't make that deal. They ended up only moving up to the one spot at 11, getting J.J. McCarthy, who's quarterback out of Michigan, just coming off a national title, who is just the anti-Kirk Cousins. I absolutely love this kid.
Okay.
This dude is just... his entire career in high school and college, the dude's only lost 2 football games.
Wow.
Like, he's just, yeah, he's that good. And just a leader. And then we were able to keep our 23rd pick and get the best defensive prospect, consensus prospect off the board in Dallas Turner. So I think the Vikings killed it. 2 prime positions. You got 2 first round studs. So I was super, super happy with that. Now, the thing I was telling you I thought was absolutely hysterical, the Atlanta Falcons had the 8th pick in the draft.
Okay.
Now, I just said they dragged Kirk Cousins away from Minnesota.
Right.
They dangled $100 million guaranteed.
Wow.
$100 million guaranteed in front of him. And he went off to Atlanta. And a lot of Viking fans were pissed. Like, a lot of Kirk Crusaders out there were like, I can't believe he left
them high and dry
to go for the money. Yeah, where every other Viking fan was like, he came here 6 years ago because we offered him the most amount of money. Like, he was a mercenary. What makes you think he's not going somewhere else, you know? So at the 8th pick, a team in Atlanta that has a shitty defense, right, just paid $100 million for their franchise quarterback for the next 4 years, drafted a freaking quarterback at number 8. I thought it was absolutely hysterical. And, you know, and I've listened to so much draft, post-draft stuff from experts and insiders and all these people that go through these mental gymnastics to try and make sense
of this pick. Like, what is the logic? What did they come up with here?
The only logic that people make, which, again, makes no sense to me, is they like to compare it, first of all, to when the Green Bay Packers drafted Jordan Love a few years ago. Well, he sat for 3 years behind Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
So that was like, well, they sat him for 3 years behind Aaron Rodgers, and now look at him. He's in, and he looks like he's going to be a good quarterback. Well, there's a bunch of differences in that, first of all.
Yeah.
You have,
he's not Aaron Rodgers either.
Let's start there. And if you go back and remember that time in Green Bay – at the every offseason, it was, is Aaron Rodgers coming back? Is he going to retire?
Right.
Is he happy? Is he this? He's only signing a 1-year deal this year, this and that. So Green Bay basically said, we're going to call your bluff and we're going to draft the guy.
Right.
But they drafted this dude at 26, not at 8. That's a big difference.
Yeah. And it wasn't like Rodgers had a long-term, $100 million contract at one point for, you know, a long term.
And you also had Aaron Rodgers there for a decade. He won a Super Bowl.
Right.
He won MVPs.
Right.
Guys coming into that team aren't saying, oh, it's Jordan Love's team. No, they absolutely knew it was Aaron Rodgers' team. Kirk Cousins has zero equity built up with the Atlanta Falcons. He's going to walk into that locker room And who are the players going to gravitate to? The 24-year-old stud rookie quarterback who can fucking throw it better than anybody else coming out of college, who's outgoing and a classy dude, or the soccer dad who shows up to practice in a minivan and reads VeggieTales to his kid every day? I'm just saying.
Yeah, do you think like he was on the phone with his agent or with somebody from the Falcons organization? Like, what the fuck is this? You know, he must have been more shocked than anyone.
They didn't tell him.
Oh, he's not even in.
They called him up. No, they called him up when they were on the clock and said, oh, by the way, we're taking Michael Penix Jr., where apparently he was really, really pissed. As well he should.
I mean, you know, definitely throws a wrench in his plans, but I guess he's got 100 million reasons not to worry too much about it, but still.
And if you're in the end, that's what Kirk Cousins cares about. He doesn't care about winning a Super Bowl. He cares about look, if there was a Hall of Fame for best negotiator, Kirk Cousins would be in the day after he retires. Yeah. But the problem is nobody remembers how much money you make. They remember how many championships you've won. And he has won none. He has won one playoff game his entire life. He is not clutch. But I will say this. In Minnesota, when Kevin O'Connell, the new head coach, came in 2 years ago, he was able to basically mold Kirk and say, you can do everything, but you know, it's between your ears. So I'm going to take that away. I'm going to be your brain and you're just going to do what I tell you to do.
Right.
And it worked out really good. And you also have to deal with kid gloves with Kirk Cousins. You have to make him feel like he's the most important person in the world.
Aww,
he is
big baby,
you know, and if you even, yeah. And if you look at our backup quarterback room the last couple of years, Sean Mannion, Nick Mullins. Like, these are dudes that are non-threatening.
Right.
They're never going to take your job. You never have to look over your shoulder. And you can kind of afford doing that with Kirk Cousins because he very rarely gets injured. So maybe you don't need a deep quarterback room. But now he's going into a situation looking over his shoulder at the 24-year-old stud that they just drafted. How much faith do they have in you? And if you're the owner, you're like, dude, I just opened a checkbook and gave you $100 million, and you had every defensive player still on the board. You had an amazing generational wide receiver still on the board. You're not getting any help for your new quarterback that I just spent $100 million for, or bolstering our defense, which it badly needs in the first round. And you're drafting a guy who essentially you're okay with saying he's going to sit
for
4 or 5 years.
Do they sell it to ownership as they're making this deal? I mean, are you telling me that it's possible ownership doesn't really get the final say on this deal?
Well, there's a clip going around online of the general manager and the owner having a conversation where it looks like the GM is kind of explaining to him, well, why this makes sense, which would then pose the assumption that the author, the Arthur Blank, the owner, came in and said, what did you guys just do at number 8?
Right.
And then again, if you have the balls to make a pick like that without talking to your owner, people need to get fired. So
I mean, that's kind of crazy.
I don't know what's going on here.
Also, like, is ownership a little bit detached from the whole process? I don't even know.
He is 88.
Yeah, that's
maybe.
Possible. That's possible then. But, you know, sometimes usually that's a family business and there's somebody there representing ownership.
Yes.
But I don't know how.
I don't know.
I mean, I can only imagine if please explain to me why I paid this guy $100 million again if we got this guy here now.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it makes no sense. And like I said, all these people that I thought were smart insiders and they're trying to make sense of this, and you sound stupid when you do it. It's just because there is no way this makes any sense. I actually had Pat McAfee show on a little bit today, and I was so happy when he had somebody on and he's going, well, just make sense of this to me. And so the guy's trying to make sense. And he's like, yeah, that's stupid. Give me another reason.
That's stupid.
I'm like, finally, somebody is coming out here.
Then. Is it possible that this guy's valuable for trades down the road, or that's not even possible?
I guess it could be.
Seems
kind of
odd,
know,
though,
but,
right? To
I mean,
not draft what you want and try to trade later. I mean, is that even done much?
Yeah, like my whole thing is you had eight. Right when the season ended, you knew where you were picking. You knew that there were 6 really solid quarterbacks in this draft. You also knew there were a few teams in front of you that did not need a quarterback and weren't going to draft one. So you basically had the pick of the bottom three guys. Right. If you just didn't sign Kirk Cousins, you would have had no problem getting this
guy.
So
they knew this like before they had the chance to make the deal with Cousins.
Absolutely.
Oh, that makes it even crazier. I didn't realize that. I thought maybe they made this decision and then this opportunity arose. No, you're telling me they made that deal. Wow. With knowing
they signed Kirk Cousins 5 weeks ago,
quarterback of this caliber available to them at the draft. Wow. That's crazy.
I mean, you know, Minnesota went out and got another pick just so they could, if they had to maneuver to get over a team like Atlanta and stuff like that. So they had a great position. Eighth in the draft is pristine. And they blew it, and it's a terrible pick. And I love that it, you know, happened to Kirk.
Right.
I couldn't be happier, because I will say this on air right now. I believe J.J. McCarthy will bring Minnesota Vikings to the Super Bowl.
All right. I'm hoping, my fingers crossed for you.
I'm not saying this year. He's a rookie. I don't even know if he'll play much this year. But if he does get in the lineup and he does start, it'll be because Kevin O'Connell, our coach, who I trust wholeheartedly when it comes to these decisions, feels he's ready and is a better option than Sam Darnold. So I'm really excited to see how it goes.
You know, it's a lot different in NFL with the NHL. Like, you can play your draft picks and you put them in the minor leagues and they get a lot of action. There's a lot of development there. What is the equivalent for that for the NFL? There's really nothing, right? You just run practices with them, and is he ready? That's it.
Yeah, I mean, if you make the 53-man roster, then you're on that team. You're, you know, maybe not an every down guy, but you're going to be in certain situations. You're going to get play, and then each team gets to pick. I think it's like 12 players to go on their practice squad, mm-hmm. which is just like an emergency developmental squad. Everybody else gets cut. And, you know, they can go play in the USHL, USFL or whatever, and Canada, they could, you know. I mean, we drafted a guy in the third round, a cornerback out of Oregon. I can't remember his first name. Jackson's his last name. And
Action.
He actually took time. Action, yeah. Jackson, that's right. He took some time off of college football, and he was, like, working at deli meat. Section of a grocery store, and he was like, well, because they asked him, you know, what was he going to do if he didn't go back to football? He goes, well, I did just get the employee of the month in the grocery store, so I went home that night and told my mom, well, this football thing doesn't work out. I guess I'm slicing meat my whole life. So, you know, I mean, that's what happens.
So a lot of times with these drafts, the way it works, too, is they don't necessarily get the deal, right? That's still subject to making the team.
Well, they'll get signed to a, you know, very basic rookie contract. They'll get a few bucks. They'll come in, and when it's the 90-something roster, and they'll play in – they'll go through training camp. They'll play in some preseason games. But every few weeks, you got to cut your roster down and cut your roster down.
But when you say a few bucks, you're getting like a league minimum salary for a year, right?
No,
it's much less than that, right?
It is much less than that. But I know, like, we just signed a couple of – undrafted free agents. One of them, I think we signed for like $300,000. The other one, like, I think $200,000. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's around there, you know, that you're paying these late round guys. Oh. And then, or do you sign them, and if they don't make their team, they don't have the contract, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works. I have no idea. I mean, the guy's slicing meat, so I would think, yeah, he probably does not have
a contract. This is an upgrade.
Yeah, definitely.
No. But he was a fourth round pick, so he should make the team.
Wow.
Especially on a team like Minnesota that needs cornerbacks. But like I said, I was balls deep in the NFL draft, mm-hmm. so I got to thinking, let's do a couple NHL mock drafts since our Devils are in the top 10.
Right.
So the first draft I went to, this is from Sportsnaut, Alan Salabaca wrote it. Now, this is no draft lottery or anything like that. So this is right now how the standings are 1 through 10. So we know, like, San Jose Sharks are going to get Macklin Celebrini at number one. They have the Chicago Blackhawks taking a right wing from the KHL or SKA. What is that?
I think that's the Russia St. Petersburg League or whatever.
Yeah, okay. But it says MHL. What is the MHL?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
I don't
Mongolian
know,
hockey
but this
league.
is This is the Mongolian Hockey League. This is Genghis Demidov. Ivan Demidov is his name. And then it has the Ducks taking a defenseman out of Michigan State, Artyom Levshunov. And then it has Columbus Blue Jackets taking a WAHL center named Caden Lindstrom. I wonder if he's like related to Nick.
Maybe.
I doubt it.
There's a lot of them out there. I mean, that's one of the top like two or three Swede names.
I know. Yeah. Another WAHL player going to Montreal at number five, a center by the name of Berkeley Catton. Mm. And then this has a defenseman going to, I'm like looking at this, I'm like, Utah, Arizona.
Dude, I still can't get used to this. We didn't pick a name for this team.
I think
team,
it's awesome. No, they actually had a thing on Twitter, the possible names. I guess they're doing like,
let's call them the sister wives. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, they're doing some type of, I guess, fucking contest or whatever, right? Let me see. There was like a few of them. The Blizzard, the Yetis, Mammoths, the Ice. Sorry about that.
I don't know, man. I'm not sure if I'm digging any of those. The Blizzard, the Mammoth, the Ice. You can't say we're the ice hockey team.
Well, I think that'd be awesome because you could play ice baby every time you score a goal. Yeah,
that song's probably just now getting to Utah, so that's good.
So I think we should. Blizzard, I don't know. You have an Avalanche already. Do we need a Blizzard?
How about the Holy Rollers?
And it makes me think about Dairy Queen. Okay, the Holy Rollers.
Yeah. Yeah. That or sister, something to tag on to the Mormonism.
The Sister Wives.
Yeah,
there you go.
I kind of like that.
The Utah Sister Wives?
I mean, it is kind of sounds like a better name for their WHL, you know.
And I think it's going to end up being the Yetis.
Yetis. The only problem is, like, nearby you got the Avalanche, and yeah, I feel like we're all treading on the same
thing. And doesn't the Colorado jersey have?
They
the
have,
Bigfoot,
yeah. That's one of
on
their
shoulder,
they
get the right?
Sasquatch footprint on their patch. And
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
And
so
I feel like they're a little too close geographically and with the mascot stuff.
The Fury. Fury was another one.
All right. This is the Fury. All right. I mean, I just don't think of Fury coming out of Utah.
The Nick Furies.
Mormon Fury. I love that.
Yeah.
How about the Mormon Crickets?
I mean,
see those things? They're like what we call the Cave Crickets. They're Mormon Crickets.
No. Why are they Mormons?
I don't know. But that's a thing. If you look up the Mormon Cricket, it's like those crazy spider crickets. You see those?
Yeah, they're aliens.
I know.
They're not from Earth.
I know, they're strange. Yeah. So
and they have teleported. They just disappear, is what I'm trying to
say.
Yeah,
like you go to step on them, they're gone.
They're gone. And I never see them jump. They just disappear.
Yeah,
so I don't know. They teleport.
And but, if they have poor attendance, that would be kind of funny. And the Mormon Crickets.
The Crickets is a good one. I'd be cool with that. I think that logo would be awesome.
I think it'd be kind of cool. I think it's a good name for like a minor league team. I think it's a little too cutesy. There's a lot of those little almost cutesy names, you know, like and insects, you know, the wasps and this and that in the minor leagues. I don't know about the NHL for that. I don't like the Blue Jackets,
is there any other insect,
I guess, too. Their one logo. No,
we thought it was. It's not. It's the
yeah,
the
but they
Union
did choose a fucking blue wasp or something.
Bug.
Or blue jacket, like whatever it is, blue, yellow jacket.
We do have the Ducks and the Penguins. They're kind of cute.
Yeah, I mean, Penguins, they definitely get a pass on that. I don't know why. It seems like a classic team with a silly name. That's true. And the Ducks, let's face it, it's always been like Disney's got a team. That's where we're tolerating that. And their original logo was very cartoony. They got it a little bit tougher since.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
Now, I would say maybe bring back like the Seals, but there's no Seals in Utah. But there's no Jazz in Utah either.
That's true.
And they have Jazz.
Didn't stop them. There's zero Jazz in Utah. Yeah, I don't know. I would love to see what they come up with. Fury is not a bad name for a team, period. It was a men's league team I played with once. That was the Fury. I thought it was hilarious, considering the people that were on that team. But, yeah, I don't know. Utah Fury. It just sounds kind of, I don't know.
Well, whoever they are, they're going to get, who's this? Zane Perrick, a defenseman from the OHL.
Wow.
And then number 7 has the Ottawa Senators taking a defenseman from KHL, Anton Silayev. Seattle Kraken, a defenseman from the WAHL, Carter Yakimchuk. And then, yeah, at number 9, the Calgary Flames taking the right wing from the WAHL, Tej Iginla. Huh? T-I-J. I don't think.
No relation to Jerome.
Son of Hockey Hall of Famer Jerome Iginla.
Jerome Iginla's kid.
Yes.
Interesting.
I saw a draft, too, that had him mocked to the Devils, so I'll actually read what they say about him. Son of Hockey Hall of Famer Jerome Iginla, Tej became a top prospect in the WAHL thanks to his shot, which will scare NHL goalies for years to come. His puck skills can beat defenders one-on-one. Tej is a player who will outwork everyone around him and does a lot of the little things which make pros successful. Being drafted by the same team his father played for would make for a feel-good story. So Calgary is getting Jerome Iginla's kid, which leads number 10, the New Jersey Devils taking Ziv Buium.
Buium.
Ziv Buium, defenseman, Deaver University, NCAA. So he's a college prospect. Ziv Buium has been impressive all year with the Pioneers on his way to capturing the national championship. So he played for David Carl, the guy we talked about,
right,
coach, scoring 50 points in 42 games. His performance in the Frozen Four, along with winning gold with the United States in both the U18 World Championships in 23 and 24, World Junior Ice Hockey Championships, has seen his stock rise. A complete defender with a two-way game capable of playing big minutes on an NHL team's top four, Ziv excels as a passer and puck handler and is definitely a defensively responsible player who has shown he is worth a high pick. This guy sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good, definitely.
Now, I will check in a minute on I just want to see if there – what other –
I mean, that's years of development
we'll do,
still to come before we say he's ready for the team, but
– And now, this is a mock that was done by Bleacher Report, Lyle Richardson, and he has Macklin Celebrini going to the Sharks at 1. Ivan Demidov going to Chicago. Artem Levchinov going to the Ducks. Cole Iserman going to Columbus. Spelled differently than Steve, so it's not.
Oh.
Caden Lindstrom going to Montreal at 5. Arizona, Utah taking Zane Perrick. And Ottawa Senators taking Carter Yakimchuk. Seattle Kraken taking Anton Silayev. Calgary Flames taking Tej Iginla again. And the New Jersey Devils taking Sam Dickinson.
So they had basically everybody shuffled around except for Iginla. I think everybody agrees he's going to Calgary.
I did see him, though, like I said, drafted to us. So this now says about Sam Dickinson.
Yeah, what about
given
that?
Given the New Jersey Devils' defensive struggles this season, the chance to select a high-quality blue-line prospect could prove too good to pass up. They'll pounce if Sam Dickinson of the OHL's London Knights becomes available. The 6'3", 200-pounder was 7th among North American skaters in the NHL Central Scouting's final ranking. Pronman considers him one of the best skaters in this year's draft. Bukola noted that he plays major minutes with the Knights, particularly at even strength and on the power play. Dickinson finished 5th among Knights scorers with 70 points in 68 games. He was 4th in that category among OHL defensemen. The Devils lack a left-shot defenseman among their top 5 prospects. He could address this issue and be ready within 3 years to jump to their roster.
All right.
So that's who we got there. Now, look, unless we get a number 1 draft pick, or there's a guy coming out at number 2 who's, you know, a stud, I'm saying we move on from we trade our draft pick.
Yeah, now, right? I mean, if you think you have a chance to move things around this year to make this team, you know, we're no longer like just building for the future, right? A few years ago,
right.
Yeah, we're keeping him, we want to see what he does, absolutely, but now, with this defensive core, you know, any kind of duplication, you're looking to deal that instead of waiting to see where it comes later on.
I completely agree. Now, Tankathon, they have the Devils picking up Tiija Ginla.
Mm.
He's only 6 foot, 186 pounds. So they have him mocked to the Devils. Now,
I mean, he sounds like an interesting
I'm just
prospect.
Curious.
I read a lot about him. But how do you feel about that?
But, well, that's what I was going to ask you. Now, this other this Tankathon one has the Devils taking Berkeley Catton as our number at number 10. He's a forward out of Spokane. But, like, my question is, first of all, who do you – now, Berkeley Catton is 18 years old. He's a center. He's – let's see. He's not big. He's only, like, 5'11". 163 pounds. He shoots left. He's got some big numbers, though. I think it was like, I don't have the numbers here, but I think it was like 68 games played. Let me see if I have it here. Yes, 5'11". So this year, he played 68 games. He has 54 goals,
right,
and 62 assists.
Wow.
For 116 points.
So
this
he's
year with the Spokane
doing like
Chiefs.
2 points a game, basically.
This dude sounds like a stud.
Right. But, you know, you see that kind of production, not all the time. I'm not saying from everybody, but at that level, it's possible where players who are just playing above everybody else at that level, they rack up the points like crazy. They get these crazy numbers. And then can they do that in NHL? That's what you have to find out. I mean, that's not the same thing.
And do we want a 5'11"?
Well, that's what I didn't like.
You know, fast, smaller.
Oh, yes. A small, skilled forward. I think we have a few of those, you know. I think we've been talking about adding, you know, grit, size, and that kind of scorer. I don't know. Honestly, to be fair, any of these guys coming in, you don't expect to have them fully filled out and have and turned into those kind of players. Nobody really comes out of college and fills that role. You know, it takes a while to develop into that.
But here's the thing, the way I feel with this, why I think you, unless you can get Macklin Celebrini, you trade this pick. Because you look at, you know, other teams building, right? Like if you can, let's say in the draft lottery, we end up 4 or 5, right? You want to make a trade with Ottawa, you want to try and get Brady Tkachuk. You have a maybe a top 5 pick. They also pick 7. Like you're talking about Ottawa having 2 top 10 picks plus whoever they're going to take from New Jersey to add to their team.
That's what you want, that team that's rebuilding and says like, this is not our 5-year window. We're moving on. We're building for the next 5-year window. And you know, Tkachuk is going to help us get there by trading him away. So that's what we would like to, you know, mesh with a team like that.
Now, let me ask you, do you think that it's stupid to think, like, my whole logic is the guys that I feel like we really need on this team, like, getting a big-ass defenseman, left-shooting defenseman, like, that dude looked like a stud. Like, if you can get him and get him in for a year or so, but we also still have Seamus Casey in the wings, too. You know, he's not left-handed, but regardless, I digress. To me, what the issues on this team that need to be addressed are with guys that you can definitely address later rounds. Like we need bigger, grittier dudes. We need bottom 6 guys. Like you're finding them deeper into that draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the second round, the third
early
round,
rounds are all
round.
Those flashy numbers that, you know,
right.
And I don't know.
I just don't know. Like I said, other than Max Celebrini, only because of everything I've heard about this kid, just being, you know, an amazing generational type talent. You know, which is very similar to what they said about Jack.
Right, you just can't pass up on that.
But outside
of that, you're right. Like, is there anybody that would sway you from, like, saying these upper rounds are not what we want right now? Let's trade away our picks.
Yeah. I mean, if trade that number one, it's valuable, man. It's so valuable. Especially if Ottawa, I'm just using them as an example, can plug and play a guy that they draft. They would have 2 top 10 picks.
Right.
You know, they can really, if you manage it properly if you get, let's say, Alex Holtz and Seamus Casey and that first round pick for Brady Tkachuk or something like that, like you're putting in a stud defenseman, you're getting Alex Holtz, which you know, not sure where his ceiling is, but, you know, it might be high. And two first rounders coming onto your team. I just think that's a deal that I think Ottawa would make.
Yeah, it seems like it makes a lot of sense for both teams. And it would be the best thing for the Devils to navigate the draft that way. I mean, that's a good strategy as you look at it that way. Like, that's,
yeah. Now, I reached out to our friend of the show, Jersey Joe, who, you know, is our draft expert here. And he sent over a bunch of info on a bunch of different players. Before we get into that, I want to actually wait until everybody's on and we'll talk.
Sure.
We'll play Joe. He sent us a bunch of clips and stuff about a bunch of different guys. I want to do a little bit more research on some of these guys and dive into
more of a draft show. Seems like Jersey Joe has done his homework, right? He's got a lot of info on these guys.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Excited to hear that.
He also will be on with us. We're going to do a draft show about a week or so before the NHL draft. So we'll get him on. He'll go over all the prospects that he likes, and we'll see. Maybe the Devils are sitting with the first overall pick, or maybe the Devils aren't picking in the first round, and Brady Tkachuk is going to become a Devil. I don't know.
I'm excited.
I mean, you can make that trade. You can make that trade whenever you want. You don't have to wait for that.
Is he going to bring in bagels?
Tkachuk?
No, Jersey Joe. That's a bagel chain in the area, you know.
Yeah, it is. A terrible one.
Yeah, I think maybe we had him from there once. I don't really – it wasn't memorable for me.
I don't like their bagels.
What if it is Jersey Joe's business? We just shit all over it.
Then I don't think it is.
Okay,
but if it is, I'd say, I don't like their bagels, bud. I'm sorry. It's not – don't take it personally.
Right. I like the part in the middle.
I'm not a
That's
giant –
what you can tell him.
Yeah, I like the part in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't like – I'm not a huge fan of Jimi Hendrix, and I'm talking to you, and you have a picture of him behind you.
Oh, this bothers you?
I'm not going to lie.
Jimi Hendrix picture?
No, it doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't bother me. I'm just not a Hendrix fan.
I don't even
– Not a Jersey Joe bagel
fan.
Yeah,
I don't even know how I ended up with that poster.
It's a pretty cool poster, though. I started watching One Love the other night, the Bob Marley story.
Okay, how do you feel about that? Because I was looking at a couple ads for it, and I'm like, this might be cringy bad, but I am curious.
It wasn't cringy
good,
bad. I have to admit, it was extremely difficult understanding the Rastafarian accents.
Now, are these legit accents or these are actors? Because that's an accent, like, if you're going to fake it, it comes off really bad sometimes.
I don't know any of the people that were in the movie,
right,
and the accent sounded genuine to me, so I'm going to say that they were definitely Jamaican or very good actors.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, I but the movie itself, like I said, I fell asleep. But it wasn't terrible. I mean, I really like Bob Marley. So anytime the music was on and stuff, it was really good. And, you know, it was pretty – I watched about an hour of it. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I'd like to check it out, definitely. There's a bunch of musician biopics that I've missed out on over the last however many years. Like, I never did see the Bowie one, which I'm a big Bowie fan. I would love to see that. But for whatever reason, I never did. I'm kind of apprehensive about them annoying me. The Freddie Mercury one.
Which one? The
There's more than one.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Is that the one you're talking about? The Bohemian
I
Rhapsody,
guess so.
Right? The movie
was. Yeah, it was like Remy Malek or whatever he played.
Fantastic.
Yeah, really good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. There's been a few.
What a good movie. He was amazing. The entire last 45 minutes where they basically did the entire Live Aid show was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that was a lot of fun. I watched a great documentary last night.
Okay.
And if any of our listeners have not seen this, go on to ESPN Plus.
Okay.
And watch Saving Sakic.
Oh, wow.
This was fantastic.
Saving Sakic about Joe Sakic? Lee Joe Sakic?
About Joe Sakic. So, do you remember, like, 1996, right?
Vaguely.
So,
bits and pieces.
Right, but you remember Quebec moving to Colorado and becoming the Avalanche, right? When Quebec was hemorrhaging money at that time, and the owner just – he didn't want to sell, but the group in Colorado really felt that the Denver Nuggets were losing money hand over fist, and they wanted to get a new arena for it, but there just wasn't enough people. So they felt the best way to really build it up is to get an NHL franchise. They went out and bring it over to Nordiques. And the owner of the Nordiques told them before the deal was done, it's like, number 19, you do whatever you can. You hold on to this guy. This team is real close to winning the cup. And sure as shit, first year they get to Colorado, they win the cup. Right. Now, do you remember when the Rangers offered Joe Sakic the $25 million contract, $15 million of this up front?
I had forgotten this, but now you totally jogged my memory, yes.
Right. So back then, at the time, there were Group A and or Group 1 and Group 2 free agents.
Right.
At the time. Right. So a Group 2 free agent, which is what Joe Sakic fell into, was basically that you can accept or you can listen to other offers from other teams, and you would your team would have 7 days to match the offer. If they didn't match the offer, you go and play with the team that offered right. it. If they do match the offer, the other team has to give them their next 10 first-round draft picks.
Well, yeah, that was significant. And that's a little bit kind of like restricted free agency, but with a huge penalty kind of attached to it.
Right. And the reason that they put that penalty in was because the last thing the owners wanted and players wanted, but mostly owners.
Yeah.
Like, look, if Team X over here, you know, decides that, you know what, let's just throw a ridiculous offer at right. him, and then, you know, I want to keep this guy. Like, you can either pillage my guy away from me, you can either poach him away, yep. or you're going to make me spend a shitload more money than I ever wanted.
Bankrupt the franchise to keep him. This is before salary cap, too, so.
This is before salary cap.
That's a huge
move. He was probably.
You don't have to worry about the cap. You could throw unlimited money. So teams like the Rangers can basically buy whatever they want.
And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's rewind 1997. Colorado has been there now 2 years. They have a cup. Mark Messier leaves and goes to Vancouver. He leaves New York and he goes to Vancouver. Wayne Gretzky is still on the team. Brian Leetch is still on the team. Adam Graves is still on the team. Still have a good team, but you just lost the heart and soul of that
right.
team. So Neil Smith and whoever was the other guy that was actually running MSG and most of, you know,
Dolan's,
was basically,
I guess the Dolan family or whatever.
It wasn't Dolan. It was some other okay. guy. And I can't remember his name right now. But they let Messier go. They were getting hammered in the media at the time and everything.
Right.
So they decided to offer Joe Sakic a contract. He's a Group 2 free agent. So they offered him, I think, a 4-year deal, $25 million with $15 million up front. And the reason they put all the money up front was because New York knew that the Avalanche had no money.
Right.
They knew that their books were like not even $4 million in the black.
Wow.
So they front-loaded this thing, and
it
was
almost
a done
impossible
deal.
For them to match it.
And exactly. And Joe Sakic was set to go to New York, and it was the countdown is on. They had 7 days to match the offer. They did not have a stadium. They didn't have the money. And you got to watch the documentary to see what they did and how they came up with it and kept them there.
But I'm going to check it out.
It is really, really good.
I don't remember how this resolved at all.
I didn't know anything about
this. I kind of do remember that New York made a play for him. But it was just
background
shit. Oh, I
remember all
shit.
That.
Yeah, like, and I don't remember how it resolved, how he ended up staying with the Avalanche.
I remember being annoyed that he was going to go to New York and then finding out the week after. Yep. Yeah, that Colorado matched it, and that was that.
A lot of younger
so
Devils fans.
That's all I remember.
They don't have this history with the Rangers. They know we hate the Rangers, but the Rangers, like, before the cap especially, were so annoying. They were the rich kid on the block who would buy anything and everything. It was Pee Wee Herman's
mm-hmm.
fucking rich, nasty neighbor who had wanted his bike so bad that he ended up stealing it when he couldn't buy it.
Right.
And that's exactly what the Rangers were like. So that's why it was so delicious to watch them just, especially after they lost Messier almost immediately, they just fell into this, you know, era of overpaying, aging players, anybody who would take a boatload of money and throw them on a team, never had a real team because of just throwing crazy money at some big names. That was always their MO.
100%.
To this day, they kind of still do that. You look at the moves they made towards the trade deadline last year, picking up, Patrick Kane.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it just really stunk of their previous. I don't see them doing that this year. And the best thing they did between last year and this year is, I think, Laviolette. I mean, he's the main reason they have a difference there. They bought into like a whole team mentality. And you got to admit, they're playing pretty good hockey, but I think their number is going
to
be up soon.
They have a legit shot.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, I really think when it comes down to the final four in the East, it's going to be, I think it's going to be Boston. It's going to be, well, I think it's going to probably be Carolina.
I still got to pick them.
But if the Rangers make it past Carolina, they have a shot.
Oh, definitely.
I mean,
definitely.
They really do.
This has got to be the biggest hurdle. If you're a Ranger fan, you know, if we get through Carolina, anything's possible, is what you'd be saying to yourself.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I don't see it happening. We'll see.
You know, but you're right. The Rangers went out. They went out and bought Wayne Gretzky.
Yes.
They were trying to get Joe Sakic. And the best is when you watch the end and you see, because the two guys, the Colorado guy, not the GM, there was the other guy kind of, you know, that ran the arena and both of the organizations. He was like the president of them.
Okay.
Same with this other Ranger dude.
Right.
These guys were tight.
Right.
Until the Rangers, and that's what they did. They fucked them over. They knew full well. They completely handcuffed them and fucked them over. And they did it on purpose. And when you see how it gets resolved at the end, it's great. It really is great. Well, you know, the one guy was talking and he was like, you know, just the year before the Denver Nuggets, they lost to Kemba Mutombo when he went to Atlanta.
Right.
And the team was like in the playoffs for a few years and then Mutombo leaves. And I think they won like 20 something games the year after. The arena was just, there was nobody showing up. And his whole thing was like, we made that mistake once. I can't let it happen again.
Sure.
Like we have to, you know, we have to get
we
this
can't
money
be pillaged
together.
Again.
And, yeah. And it's a really, really good documentary.
So I'm gonna check it out.
So, yeah, Saving Sakic. It's on ESPN Plus. I know it's getting a little late. We're going to wrap it up. I'm just going to run through my DraftKings Sportsbook read here. Look, guys, you all know, like, the playoffs are on. Things are going. Things are fun. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code THPN. Bet $5. Get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Code THPN on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit. This is a new one. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Go to dkng.co/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. That's DraftKings Sportsbook. With code THPN, the crown is yours.
Is that a new copy?
So
I like the way it started out.
Yeah.
You know, guys, the playoffs are on. Things are great. Things are fun. If that's how it reads. I like that's what you said. I love that.
That is right.
That's good.
It's the chase for the Stanley Cup is on.
No, I like what
you said. You're looking to light the lamp.
No,
beats the action.
You don't have to give in to that. I like what you said better.
From the start of playoff beards, I hate
that.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really trying to.
If NHL your wife is your playoff beard.
Guys.
So anybody that's listening to us, let us know any draft picks, any guys coming into this draft that you think are absolute. The Devils have to go after this guy.
Right.
Do you feel like we need to, unless this is Max Celebrini, trade this thing off and get a player now that's going to help the team? Or even if it is Max Celebrini, do you say we trade this pick or this player, and we get somebody in, a Brady Tkachuk or somebody like
him. That's going to be good to hear from people as we get closer to doing that draft show. That's going to be cool. But you know what also I'm looking at, and I wonder if people have any ideas they could send in to us. As you watch these playoffs, are there people that are performing, you know, at a high level that you didn't necessarily expect to see? Every playoffs, there's, you know, some new faces emerge.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, this is good. And maybe you're thinking, hey, who is this person? Do they have are there, you know, a contract that we could, you know, do you see somebody playing right now that you would like to see on the Devils, if that's possible?
That's excellent. Yeah, let us know. That's really good. I'm going to actually, there's like half of the guys on Tampa. I'm just like, look, thinking of this team, and I'm like, Steven Stamkos. I know we mentioned him, a possibility going to Detroit. How would he look on this Devil team?
That's
look
what I'm
up
doing
his numbers.
Right now.
This dude's
thinking
still,
about some of these guys.
I think he scored like 38 goals this year. Like he's still, I mean, the guy's got it.
Yeah, he's got one of those long careers where he just doesn't slow up like Joe Thornton or something, you know?
So, but I mean, I'm watching this and I'm thinking maybe Sam Reinhart in Florida, but he's going to be pricey.
Oh, yeah.
I just think, you know, you're going to, whoever gets Sam Reinhart next year, I think you're going to be paying $9, $10 million for him. And I'm not sure if I want to see the Devils do that. So, Brady Tkachuk, that's the guy. But we'll see how it goes. And like I said, next show we do, I got to check Bobby's schedule if he's back in town. We're going to dive more into, we're going to pick about five guys that are mocked to this Devils team right now. We're going to dive into them. We have a bunch of stuff from Jersey Joe. He's going to fill us in, let us know the actual ins and outs about these players. And we'll see if any of them would fit with the Devils. So, anything else you'd like to share with the audience tonight, Daniel?
No, enjoy the playoffs while they're on, and let's start thinking about how to improve our chances for next year.
Absolutely. So we are the Uncle Puckers, Dan and Chris, and we'll see you when we see you.
Puckers out. Really miss Bobby. Bye-bye.
Bye-byes.
Not Steve.
We can't do it like Bobby can.
Bobby, bye-byes.
It's over, Johnny.
It's Bobby, bye-byes.